All right, so there are only a few places of refuge for men, especially black men. What you got? The barbershop. You also have the man cave. And right now in studio, we got my man Cosign. You might know him from one of the millions of tracks that have been Grammy nominated that he's produced. He's a Grammy nominated producer. Have you've won some too as well, right?
Have not won. 0 for 9.
0 for 9. This is going to be the year. He's also the star of the show Man Cave alongside Jeff Johnson. Slink Tank is on that show. Got my girl Marsha Lyles in studio first. Good morning, Marsha.
Good morning, Doma T. It's so nice to hear your voice this morning.
Actually, it's been a long time.
Last time I heard from him, he was going to Ghana.
Yeah, and then I came back from Africa, and she had like 3 shows by herself, and we haven't had a chance to break bread, so it was good to...
We just celebrated
reunited
Women's Month.
It feels so good.
Ooh, I like that.
And we got my man Cosign up in the studio, and first of all, I've been binge watching Man Cave. It's refreshing to watch because it's like a male version of The View. Have you heard that before?
I have heard that.
A male version of The View. I've never watched The View, but I imagine The View was a female version of Man Cave.
I feel like the primary difference is we don't have a studio audience.
True.
So there's no performing. There's no trying to say something so that you can get somebody to clap. It's just real, like,
for sure,
real dialogue.
Well, I love it, man. Well, first, before I want to give a proper introduction. Talk about first your career, some of the records you've produced, and where people might know you from.
Okay, I'm one half of The Interns. So shout my partner too, Harvey Chicago. I produced for Rihanna, Big Sean, Nicki Minaj,
Justin Bieber,
Chris Brown, Ludacris, John Legend, Tamar Braxton, Marsha Ambrosius, Mayor Hawthorne, G Herbo. Vic Mensa. That's all I can think of off the top of my head.
And let me be honest, man, Marsh, I gotta be honest. When I've known Nay for what, going on, who is Coast's sister, for maybe what, 4 years or something? And you know, we've been friends for a long time. And I remember one time she was like, you know, just casually, yeah, I'm going to LA, you know, my brother's an intern, so you know, I gotta like the interns. Like, he's an intern at a company there? Are you talking about the interns? She's like, no, he's one half of the interns. And I've been a fan of you brothers for a long, long time. So it's an opportunity. There's an amazing opportunity to sit across from you. So I'm glad you took some time this early morning to come hang with us.
I appreciate that,
yeah,
man. For real.
I just met him at the elevator. He said he's been up for how long?
Oh, man, since last week.
Word. So how does a producer end up on a talk show on BET? How does that happen?
But it was an executive producer was Steve Harvey?
Of the show. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Steve Harvey is the executive producer.
Okay.
Of the show. Yep.
And so that's why he was on that episode talking crazy.
Yeah, it's his show. He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah, nah, it was an excellent show. But yeah, how did it come about? How did you meet Steve, and how did you become a part of this project?
Well, I mean, first prayer, you know what I mean? I did a TED Talk at Columbia College a couple years ago called Professor Cosign Presents How to Rewrite Your Life.
Father, a past Olympiad from Guatemala, kids kind of all around the world. Papa was definitely a Rolling Stone. Never mind him. I couldn't imagine my script not containing my mom in every aspect of my life. I couldn't imagine pursuing my dreams without my major source of influence. And then I realized that God's influence was far more realer than I ever imagined.
And I was just kind of like speaking over myself at the moment, you know what I mean? Trying to give some good advice. And now 2 years later, it was almost like kind of prophetic, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I had hit that glass ceiling after I didn't win Rap Song of the Year at the Grammys. I was pissed. Try to act like you don't care about winning. You get your heart in it. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going back to Chicago, man. It was like my life was just spiraling out of control, and I needed to detox from the Hollywood sauce. So I came back to Maywood and sat on my auntie couch and just got love, real authentic love from my family. And I just started just like praying, like, God, enlarge my territory, man. Like, this music thing is not paying all the bills. I'm not fulfilled. I have a son. And I was speaking at the Revolt conference, and I was in a room chilling, and I just was thinking to myself, like, yo, bro, like, you're at Revolt conference. Some of the biggest names in entertainment are here. Like, why are you in your room not networking, not looking for your next play? Like, what are you doing? So I called my partner too, and I'm just like, yo, what you doing, man? He's like, oh, I'm having a drink. I'm by the pool sitting here talking to Jeff, man. I'm getting some bars. You need to be getting some bars. I was like, you right. You know what I mean? Went down and I was talking to Jeff, and two was like, yo, tell him your story. And I was like, kind of just giving him the little cool edited version. And he was like, nah, he one of us. Tell us your story. And I just started telling him the story, the journey. And he was like, I think you'd be perfect for this show I've been working on for, like, I want to say maybe like 5 years, 7 years. Something crazy. And he was like, it's called Man Cave. And I auditioned for 2 days, two nine-hour days of auditioning against some of the most influential black men in the business. And I made it. I don't know how. I did not think I was going to make it, but I made
it. That's that prayer.
Now, we know you're from Chicago. Mm-hmm. What was the journey, though, that you explained to him that day? What's some of the journey that you told him about?
Right.
Oh, man. I told him about little baby mama drama. I told him about losing my mind, you know what I'm saying? Having too much fun, too much partying, not being focused, losing my artist, Aaron Michael Cox. He died at 22 to testicular cancer before he signed to Columbia Records. So I had never really just dealt with that all the way, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it was just like a lot of personal, just craziness, you know what I'm saying, that made my journey so interesting, you know.
So that was that juice that made him want to have you on the show then. It was like, all right, he got something to talk about. He has a story.
Yeah. I just felt like, man, during the audition process, like, I had deleted my old Instagram. My sister always talking crazy about how I deleted it, but it was just like I needed to be able to hear. I couldn't hear anymore. It was too lit. You know what I'm saying? It's too much of a distraction, and I need to be able to hear. And so I deleted it, and so I had like little followers, you know, and I just felt like, why would they pick me? I'm the most least famous here, you know.
Right.
But yeah, it worked out, man. It worked out.
What's refreshing about that story is because normally when we have those opportunities to give that elevator speech, you want to give the most pristine, edited, polished version of yourself.
Because you feel like no one wants to listen to it. They don't want to hear that.
Right. And it's refreshing because that authenticity, when you look at the show, I don't see how they could have done the show without you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you guys talk about relationships. Unless you have an opportunity to talk about your son, talk about the drama, talk about what's going on in your life, that's what makes it interesting. Like, that's what makes it a real show. Like, what was the moment when you were actually on Man Cave, when y'all were having a conversation where you realized, like, okay, I am where I'm supposed to be right now? Was there a specific moment or a conversation you were having where you felt like you were in your bag, in your pocket?
Man, honestly, I was in my bag at the Steve Harvey show before like the first episode aired. When Steve Harvey brought us on his show, it's crazy because Tank immediately took me out of my bag, and that kind of pissed me off a little bit. He's definitely a jerk and a creep for what he said. Like, we were about to walk out on Steve Harvey, and he was like, it's like you stand behind that door, you know that door is about to open this way, and he was like, fellas, I want you guys to know that when they open up this door and we walk out, the women here will be screaming, and they'll be screaming loud, and your ego is gonna make you think that they're screaming for you, but they're screaming for me. And then the doors opened up and they started screaming. And I was just sitting there like, he didn't have to do, I shouldn't be feeling like this at this moment. And then Steve went down the list, like, you know, we got Jeff Johnson, clap, clap, clap. We got Slim, clap, clap. We would take, I'm just like, no. I'm out of my bag now. Now I'm out of my bag. I was in the bag, snuggled, and now I'm outside of the bag.
That is hilarious.
Yo, he killed me.
Is he like that all the time? Or is he just throwing you off?
Everybody is unbelievably ignorant. Like, Jeff, Slink, to everybody is unbelievably ignorant.
I imagine Jeff Johnson going through the same thing that you went through at a point. And the reason I say this, I mean, I remember Jeff Johns, who was Cousin Jeff with the long locks, and mm-hmm. he was hosting on BET. He was doing a lot of shows, and then he kind of disappeared for a little bit. He was still in his bag. He was moving around the East Coast doing college tours. He contributes on the Ricky Smiley Morning Show, still doing his thing, etc. But it was refreshing to see him come back, because there's this space. It was kind of like this void of black intellectuals who could move in the hip hop space and host these types of shows. I mean, this is my perception from afar, looking at him, mm-hmm. just because I haven't seen him in the public eye. I just imagine that. And then you worked on this show for 5 years, mm-hmm. and you know, in the same way, you're winning, you're excelling, but you felt like you had to expand your territory. You felt like you hit a glass ceiling. Mm-hmm. Have you guys ever had that conversation?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I relate to all of the brothers on the show. Like, we have our own special bond. So Tank and I've been on, man, Tank took one of my songs for his last album, the song called Stay Where You Are. It was my song. And he was just like, nah, bro, I need that. And I was like, come on, Tank. Like, I'm trying to, like, get out of just being a producer. And he
was, oh, you
like,
sing
so
too?
You sing?
Yeah, I sang.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, I get active.
Right. You know, you notice he didn't say sing. He said, no, I sang.
Because you have an album that was just released in February.
Sing a couple
every
singles.
Day is Valentine's Day or something.
Yeah, that's the mixtape series. That was like, I want to say like a year or two ago. It's like, oh, it's a little older.
Okay. But,
she went in the crates, man. Yeah, she does her research.
I told him that I'm really like a stalker. And if this whole broadcasting thing did not work out for me, I really would have been perfect for a private investigator. He got a little afraid.
That's scary.
It's a little scary.
It's a little off-putting.
A little off-putting.
It works. You should have heard our first episode. Go back to Shopedia and listen to the first episode. Yeah, that's what she
did. It's called the background check.
Yeah, that's what she did. But Tank stole your song.
So yeah, Tank stole my song, man. But nah, it's love. I mean, like, I was a fan before I even knew him in LA and everything, and we played ball together. So that's really bro. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then Slink, he just so ignorant that he reminds me of, as a Chicagoan, every ignorant, crazy homie that I've ever had growing up. He embodies all of that and more. And then Jeff is, you know, that's the gourmet side, man. You know, the brand is Gourmet Ratchet, and Jeff is, he speaks to the 4.0 that I got at Columbia College and my degree and being articulate, and just like overall black excellence. Like, I feel like when I used to have my issues and my prayers with God, like, man, like, why you ain't let me have no daddy though? Like, that don't add up. Like, why I don't got no daddy though? Like, you know what I mean? I just feel like God was like, well, look, throughout your life, I'm gonna put some of the most influential black men around you, and you know, you'll be fine.
Right, because it could have gone in another direction. Most mm-hmm. kids who don't have a daddy, they end up where, you know, on the streets, so they find gangs to join so they can feel like they have a father figure. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. you took the right direction.
Yeah, he started off with my uncles, you know what I'm saying, who were like, just, they spent more time and coached my baseball team and stuff like that. Shout to my mom. You know, my family is, everybody's from Panama, so we're first generation Americans here, you know, living in Chicago. So my uncles, you know, we're a tight knit. And so it started with them as my foundation, and then, you know, the church, and all the way to moving to LA and spending time with Puff and Timbaland and Ludacris. And you know what I mean? I just feel like God was like, nah, you'll be fine, because mm-hmm. I'm a just have you around all of them.
What happened with your father? What was the relationship between him and your family?
Well, my father, it's crazy because he's extra famous. My father is the most decorated athlete to ever come out of Guatemala. He ran in the 1968 Olympics. He was in the high jump. And the National Stadium in Guatemala is named after my dad. 2 months ago for my birthday, February 7th, my sister and I, my girl, we all went out to Guatemala and just met. We like, I don't even know what to even call it. Like, it was like going to claim the throne. You know what I'm saying? Right, my dad right. is like basically a vegetable. He can't talk, can barely see. You know, very, very sick. Mm. It's heartbreaking to see. His nickname is the Pride of Guatemala in English. And it was crazy to see him in that state. But at this point in my life, you know, on my spirit, it was just like, man, I'm so proud of this dude, man. And now that I'm a grown man and in entertainment, you know, I feel like I understand him more now than I ever did before.
Why do you say that?
Well, I mean, just to be who he is, like the way people were coming up to me in the mall as his son, because I look just like him. Mm-hmm. So you're like, oh my God, this is the son of Teodoro Palacios Flores. Oh man, would you like a discount? Yes, you can. Please. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was real. And I was like, mucho gusto, señor. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so, you know, just to walk around his country and see, like, man, what his legacy is, man. His legacy is crazy. And I'm a father. I have a son. So, you know, I tell that to my son all the time. And my son, oh, man, I love him so much because he gets so excited. You know, like, what? The Olympics? What? My grandfather? What? You know what right, I mean? So right. That legacy, you know, but then at the same time,
he was absent.
Yeah. You know, my life is always the balance in my life is crazy because, you know, he was an incredible dad, but just not to me and not to my sister, you know. So we had to deal with that. And I think that's why our bond is so strong. You know, my mom, before she passed away, my mom passed away of pancreatic cancer when I was 20 years old and I was about to start at Columbia College. And she was just like, yo, you have a sister on the south side of Chicago. Her name is Naomi. And when I'm gone, you're going to need all the family you can get. You're going to need them more. You know, so I know you can't understand what I'm trying to tell you now because I only cared about my mom. You know what I mean? And she was like, but go find your sister. You know what I mean? Take care of your sister. And it took me like a year after my mom passed to find her. But as soon as I laid eyes on her, you know. It was like, yo, I got you. You know what I mean?
Wow. So you were raised as an only child.
Mm-hmm.
And then your mom came and told you. So this is.
And my sister was raised as an only child.
So she had, you had the same dad.
Had the same dad.
Wow.
Have the same dad.
Yeah.
And she was on the south side. I'm on the west side.
So why did so many years pass before you were introduced? Or?
Well, we saw each other once. One time my dad was probably just like, you know, feeling himself. Like, you know what, man? I'm going to do some crazy shit today. I'm going to let my kids meet each other. You know what I'm saying? And we did. I remember it. You know, she came over. We played with some toys. She was a little selfish. I was like, man, she sounded selfish. That was weird. You know what I mean?
She's the only child.
But you know, it happened once, and now, you know, like, I love my sister so much, and it's crazy because, and I've never told her this, but like, she loves me the same way my mom loved me. It's the same kind of love. You know what I'm saying? So, wow. You know, it all works out, man. The Most High has us. Yes. Has he got the story written so crazy?
Oh my gosh!
It's so set up for us to just win. You know what I mean?
This is amazing.
It's crazy. This is Jeff calling me right now. Did we put Jeff on the podcast?
Yeah, Let's do it.
Jeff.
Brother.
All right, so don't say nothing crazy because I'm doing a podcast right now and talking about you in Man Cave. And you called me and I just put the phone on speaker and put it on the mic.
Hey, Jeff.
What's up, podcast?
What's going on?
Shypedia in Shypedia. Chicago.
I was just saying, because I was about to start talking about them two chicks that we met that time.
Stop it right now.
As I'm walking with my wife.
All right, 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 right.
Well, I got to ask Jeff this question while we have him.
Jeff, they want to ask you a question real quick.
What's up?
Why did it take 5 years to make Man Cave a reality?
TV ain't easy, man, and you got politics, and you got executives, and you got shifts in leadership, and so, you know, we had to be focused on what we wanted to do and what our vision was, and it finally merged with the right leadership at BET for it to become real. And then it was, you know, it took us a minute to find us a cosign and a slink. To round out this cast to give us the perfect mix. So it wasn't easy. But to your question, brother, let me be clear. It shouldn't have taken that long. It speaks more to our fortitude than it does the process.
That's real. That's 100, man.
Boy. Jeff, what is it that you saw in Cosign that day? The day that you met Cosign, what was it that you saw in him that made you say he needs to be on a Man Cave?
I didn't see anything. No, I'm dead serious, right? So Coase and I started talking, and of course we knew who each other was, but we had never really met. I felt this dude's spirit. and I felt his story, and I felt his ambition, and I felt his vision. Because sometimes we get caught up in what we see. So I didn't see producer. I didn't see future superstar. I saw complex, flawed, and brilliant man who's unafraid to be honest. Like, this dude was honest with me in the first 15 minutes of our conversation, and that's what we needed. We didn't need a superstar. We didn't need a dude who could call artists and say that I worked with them before. We needed somebody that when we started talking about real ish, they were honest about it. And his integrity and his honesty and his vision and his desire and his joy for life is what came out to me. And that was what I was like, man, you gotta come to LA and do this casting.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. I love you, Jeff.
Man.
Thank you, bro.
You played me and Miss Ricky Smiley this morning.
Yo, I was mortified when I got offset because I thought I had more time, man. I got offset. And he was like, Hurricane was like, call Jeff back. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, I wonder what else we going to talk about. We already went over the show. No, you missed the show.
Oh.
What?
No, I was mortified when I got on air, and for the first time, they act like they didn't want me to be on. what you here for? You didn't bring the dude you said you was bringing.
Right.
You canceled three things this week, and you come back next week with Sling.
Right. Oh, man, this is bad. No, please tell them I'm so sorry, man. I promise to make it up.
Good,
I promise.
We're going to make it up next week.
Okay, perfect. All right, well, I'm going to jump back into this, man. I'll call you as soon as I'm done. All right, thank you, Chief.
Jeff, it's good to hear from you, man. That's amazing. Wait a minute. So you missed a Ricky Smiley morning view?
Missed Ricky Smiley doing some more TV. I was doing the jam.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he set it up. He posted me on his page. He asked a list of what questions you want to ask for Cosign. People was all ready.
Oh, man.
And I missed it.
What is the biggest challenge about this space, man, about moving in this space, in this entertainment space? Because to me, it you know, I'm not on BET Man Cave. My problem, though, is the same thing, scheduling. Like, you have to be at this place, from this place to this end, and even relationship-wise, it can weigh on you because your schedule is crazy. What has been the biggest challenge for you, though?
You know, to be completely honest with you, like, yeah, I'm very busy, yeah, I'm tired, but we've been here before. We've been here before, and I pray for this. And when I thought it was going to happen, when I wanted it to happen, like 2014, I was not ready, and it showed from every angle of my life. I literally was having breakdowns, like breakdowns. My sister, I really don't want her to ever speak on it, but you know what I'm saying?
Pull up a mic, man.
Come on, man.
I don't want her to speak on it, but like it was too much. And I was overwhelmed. And so now at this point, 4 years later, you know, way more mature, I love to plan now. At first, I didn't like to plan. Everything was just, if I feel like it. And that's not life. Drake is running laps around the music business because he's the best planner in music. Mm. And so now I just plan. You know what I mean? And yeah, I'm tired, but come on now. You know what I'm saying? Ain't nothing wrong with that.
No, nope.
Right. So it's I ain't going to say this is a breeze, but it's light. Like, come
so
on.
Are you in a relationship right now?
I am in a relationship.
Does your girlfriend nag you because you don't have time for her right now?
Not at all.
Not at all. Is she in the entertainment industry
not
as well?
Not at all. Not at all.
Wow.
I tried that. That doesn't work.
Why not?
That doesn't work for me.
What has been the challenge with that?
Man, oh my God. Man, industry girls are crazy, number one.
That's going to be the headline of this podcast, by the way. Industry girls are crazy.
I dealt with jealousy before, you know.
And when your career is moving and in the spaces
that
she's in.
And intimidated, you know what I'm saying? She used to throw my degree in my face, you think that just because you got a degree and you graduated, that you better than somebody? That don't mean ish. That don't mean a goddamn. And I used to be like, this industry is full of people that didn't graduate. I know I'm broke. Like, you know what I'm saying? What are you talking about? I don't think I'm ish. I forgot that I graduated. So what are you talking about? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But it was something that she was carrying on her side. You know what I mean?
Right. And she put that on you.
Don't put that on me, Ricky Bobby. don't you put that on me, Ricky Bobby. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, so who's the artist that you worked with that surprised you the most, or that challenged you the most, or like what are one of those stories? Like, what was it like working with a Rihanna or Justin Bieber? Was Justin Bieber cooler than you thought when he passed Bieber, you the weed? Was Rihanna like, you know, whatever?
Bieber was easy. You know, we just sent the song in, sent the track in. He loved it. He cut it easy. Rihanna, easy. She came up to me in the club and was like, "Oh my God, I want to tell you something. I think I want to do a remix to Birthday Cake with Chris Brown."
Like, I thought she was gonna say, "I don't have any panties on."
Oh wow, wow!
I'm just kidding.
I kind of wish she would have said that. Damn, why didn't she say that? Damn. But she was like, "I want to do a remix to Birthday Cake with Chris Brown," and that was fun. That was easy. You know what I mean? Anaconda with Nicki Minaj.
My anaconda don't want none unless you got buns, hun.
My gosh.
That was the moment.
Oh, you produced Anaconda?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. That's you.
Gourmet Ratchet.
That's that Gourmet
that's
Ratchet.
That's yeah. That, yeah.
You listen to it, you'll hear a bunch of school bells in there. The school bells, that's my tag. You know what I mean? People have usually use their name or something crazy. I just put a school bell in it. You know what I mean? And so Anaconda, we worked on that one song for a week. And Nicki Minaj was very intense, yo. It was like we knew each other our whole lives. She was cool-ish, but she was intense.
And how? What do you mean by intense?
Intense. Like, I'd be in the studio. I remember one time I was like, I was talking about something, and I was trying to give the example of a movie. You know what I mean? I was like, you know how, like, in this movie, when Whoop said whoop, 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 and she was like, no, ain't nobody seen that movie. I don't know what you talk about. Get back to work. Finish that beat. You thought you was going to say that, and everybody was going to laugh. No.
Ooh,
I was like, you mean as fuck? Nicki, what the fuck? Shit. Damn near want to call her a B-word to her face. I might have mumbled that. But like, but then like when I got the track right, like that same Nicki that was talking, she was twerking in the studio. She was throwing, and that's when I was smelling myself. I was like, I made the ass shake live in front of me. I made the ass.
I think we got a new title for the podcast.
What, the ass?
That
don't sound real.
Shake.
That doesn't sound real.
What, the ass?
The
or?
Ass. When you say the ass, that doesn't sound
real. Doesn't look real.
I mean, I was thoroughly entertained and satisfied with everything.
So you like women with butt injections, huh? That turns you on, butt injections?
No, I produced another song. So I produced Ass, I produced Cake, I produced Anaconda, and then I produced a song called Lil Booties Matter.
Oh.
So.
Whose record is that, Lil Booties Matter?
Trap Beckham.
I've heard that.
Beckham has another song that goes, One Time for the Birthday, two times for the birthday. I produced that too. So I am a connoisseur of all shapes and sizes of ass.
Oh.
Altogether.
That's amazing. And this is
he said that's amazing.
But you
that's
did
amazing.
Tiger. He did Tiger's song. It just, what was it? What was the name of it? Ass. What was
that's Big
it?
Sean.
I mean,
that's
Big Sean. Not
I did
Tiger.
Do that.
I'm sorry. You didn't. You did.
I did do that.
See?
Yeah.
And they and the grandmas. Fun fact: the grandmas at the Bulls game last night performed to Ass. So I'm sitting there watching halftime, and they have the number on their jerseys is their age. So it's like 71, 65, 66. You know what I'm saying? And I'm recording it, and then it just cuts to ass, and they start twerking. And I'm like, this is Chicago. I'm at the Bulls Stadium. I haven't been to the United Center in years. And these grandmas are popping ass to my song, and nobody in here even knows that I did this. And I'm sitting courtside. It was crazy.
That is like a full circle moment.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's on my Insta story right now, if you guys, I'll save the video.
Let me be transparent and give you a full circle moment. This is crazy, right? So, you know, Jeff Johnson, as I was like patting in my career, figuring out what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Like, I wasn't always in media.
Crazy how you just talked him up just like that for it. That's kind of crazy.
That's where I'm going. And the reason why I brought him, like, his career trajectory, because I watched him. You know, I admire him and all of that. And so, as I thought about what would I want to do? What would the version of me be? Like, I don't necessarily want to be on CNN or whatever. I'm right where I want to be. I just want to do exactly what I'm doing at a larger scale. And I'm like, who is that who's doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Who is their authentic selves, who's intelligent, but who can still get up here and on the phone like, you coast talk some real ish, blah, 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 blah. Like, who is that person? That's always been him. I looked at his website, how he how his brand is, all of that. And so then we talk about manifestation and where you want to be in life and praying to God and seeing that. And then it just, as we're talking, he calls you out the blue.
Domati, you have to tell them the story about last month, too. Who did you do an interview with last month?
Which one?
Lonnie Love.
Lonnie Love. I did an interview with Lonnie Love last month.
Right.
And we had that exact same conversation.
Yes. I couldn't make the interview. He did it alone.
Uh-huh.
And so that next morning, as I'm walking into work, I was listening to the interview, walking through the Illinois Center, in my headphones, and just walking. And I look up, and I'm like, am I tripping? Have I been smoking weed? That was Lonnie Love walking right past. And I'm like, should I go back and check? Because she didn't look that big. I'm like, she lost some weight, you know? So I went back. It was her. I took a picture. So that day we was able to post our podcast. I was in the picture with Lonnie Love, and he wasn't, but he got to talk to
her. But he got to talk.
The irony. And she set up the interview, couldn't make. But just all of that. Like, so when you talk about manifesting what you want your future to be.
Yeah, you're right there. Like, you, like, it's crazy because perspective is such a powerful word, like perspective, because you can look at that glass as half full, half empty. You can look at life like, oh, it's all terrible, or you can look at it like, this is only a season, and I know that the Most High and the Father has me, and I know that better days, and I know that this is only a test, and I know that I'm being refined, and if I want to be a diamond, I know what I got to go through in order to shine like that. Like, it's perspective, you know. So life is real, man. Life is real. It's a beautiful thing, and good and better times are on the way. You know, you just got to get active. You got to get active. It's funny because when I came back to Chicago in 2015 for that hard reset, let me get this Hollywood sauce off me. Let me sleep on my auntie couch. Let me spend some time in Maywood. Let me be around my family. Let me get my ish back together. I worked with local artists, right? And, you know, at the time, I didn't know what was going to happen. But guess what? One of those songs became the theme song of Man Cave. So when the show comes on every time, it's a track that I did in Chicago when I was broke and down on my luck.
Wow.
Another thing that I did when I was in Chicago during that time was just do gospel music. I come from the church. My homie has a studio. Shout out to my homie Luther, a.k.a. Brown Shoes, right? Hotel Saints, Eve. And I'm like, let me do some gospel, man. Let me just do something from my soul that ain't got nothing to do with no money. Well, that song ended up on Snoop Dogg's Bible of Love album, which is currently number one right now.
Right now.
So everything that you're doing, everything that you're working, it's not in vain. It's all going towards something. If you have faith, if you believe that, you know, the plan is the plan, just keep working. Because that blows me away all the time. Like, I just had my first song premiere in Empire last night. Empire.
Yeah.
I had a meeting with Lee Daniels, and, you know, I've been trying to talk to my publisher. Hey, guys, you know, I do have number ones. You should show me some attention, publisher. Like, could you introduce me to, I know you guys have a great relationship with Empire and Star and Lee Daniels. And then I had to go my own way. I had to make the opportunity happen for myself. And I finally met Lee Daniels, and I sold him 5 songs in the first meeting of being in his office.
Mm.
And so now, last night, the new season of Empire is going, and there's my song. And there's the internet going crazy.
You're right.
Wow.
So it's happening. You know what I'm saying? You know, you got seasons that you work, and then you got harvest season.
Yes.
When it's just time to just get them blessings. Just let it rain on me, Lord. I don't need no umbrella. Let my mess up my
waves.
But yeah, just take me out. Take me out. Mess up the perm. If I had a perm.
You know, I knew it was a perm. Nah, you're right, man. Man, that's the part. Let people know where they can catch Man Cave, how they can support you, what you got coming up next, and where they can follow you online and social media, all that good stuff.
All right, so you can definitely follow me on the gram, cosine, KOSINE 5 interns. If you're a Twitter person, it's the interns, just DAINTERNZ. Man Cave is on every Thursday night. This is the season finale tonight, though, so we're going on hiatus. So definitely use the hashtag ManCaveBT Season 2 if you want to see a season 2 of Man Cave. And then I'm on the radio every day. I have a radio show at Apple Music Beats One. I'm on every day at 6 o'clock, live in over 100 countries, playing you the top music in Apple Music. And then I'm releasing music. I'm still a producer. I'm an artist. So, you know, just type in Kosine, K-O-S-I-N-E, in Apple Music or Tidal or Spotify, and see what I'm doing on that front. I'm excited.
And support Man Cave, support Chicago, support this brother Kosine. And I just got to say, we talk about this a lot. Like, black men don't really talk to each other in the way, in these public forums, the way you guys do in Man Cave. And I think it's important. I think, you know, I was just talking to someone about what mentorship looks like, especially because we have so many fathers missing in our communities. And so right now, when you guys have those conversations, those are conversations that people aren't having at home. They're hearing things. Even the episode where Steve Harvey was on, you guys were talking about gender roles. And you guys, whether, you know, people might agree or disagree with certain aspects of it, but one thing everybody in the room agreed with was that the man's role is to protect, profess, and provide. And for some people at home, that was the first time they may have heard that or seen that or saw an example of five or six men who are actually doing that. So, you know, beyond just being a funny, entertaining show, I think it's a really valuable show for our community. So big ups to you and the whole cast.
I appreciate that.
You know, I'm over here. That. I just want to hear you sing.
Whoa.
No,
Oh, sir, can you see?
Shopedia, man. Our guest has been Kosine. Make sure you support him. This is Doma T.
And this is Marsha.
Till next week.